Hello, everyone, and welcome into the fan-run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tanner Carson here, back in the saddle again in the host chair for overtime as we kick off your week here. I'm back from the Wild Wild West. I'm back from Dallas, Texas, after my little mini vacation here. I am back with the usual crew. I got Julia Ramsey to my left. I got intern Will Stevens on the producer's perch up there, running the boards, answering the phones as well. Guys, I haven't been here since Tuesday. It's been almost a week since I've been here.
Welcome back.
Shout out to Ben Lee. Shout out to Ben Lee at Talk Sports, stepping in, hosting the program Wednesday through Friday. I was able to listen in when I had the chance. Ben does an excellent job, so I knew the show would be in good hands with him. It seems like everything went well from what I listened to. Guys, before I tell you how my weekend was, how was y'all's last week with Ben Lee at the helm?
I'd say it went pretty well. We had a fun time, talked about a lot of stuff, some sports, some not sports, but I enjoyed it.
8.5 out of 10, probably. Ooh, I'm a very hard grader.
Okay.
But it was a good week.
Yeah. Okay, 8.5 out of 10, yeah, that's some high praise right there. I listened to it a little bit. I listened to the first segment of his first day hosting on Wednesday. I got to hear the story about how his mom's boyfriend just walked in on him sleeping in the couch. He had like no clue he was there, and the awkwardness of that situation. I was able to hear him play you, Julia, in birthdays on Friday.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And
that was rough.
Who played on Thursday? I missed all of Thursday's show, apparently.
Wednesday, me and Julia played. I got my first win.
Yes.
Okay. And then Thursday, me and Julia played, and she wiped the floor with me. And so then Ben Lee played the winner on Friday.
And apparently he wanted to play me because I'm the designated veteran winner of birthday games.
As of now, I guess you have to hold that crown.
Yeah. He was very excited to play.
He was taking it very seriously.
Yes.
I did notice that. I mean, it's a game that I'm glad has had the longevity that it's had. I mean,
a lot of people like it.
Ben apparently tries to play
it's
along
a fan
at home.
Favorite. Yeah.
And people told me it's a fan favorite. I've had people some people DM me on Twitter asking when I'm going to be back because I want you to host birthdays again.
Yeah.
I love the birthday game. It's like, well, I'm glad you like something. I'm glad you like that, you know, versus our actual like sports coverage. But, I mean, you got to have your specialty at something.
We have our
right?
shtick.
You have to win at something. But
yeah.
I'm glad everything went well. Anyone want to ask me anything about Dallas? Anything about my trip at all? Because I could go.
Yes, I have a few questions.
Julia.
I do know you told me before you left this is your first time flying on an airplane.
It was.
Tell me about that.
Thursday morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Which I can't believe. You're 23 years old.
I'll be 24 next month.
And you've never flown on a plane.
Look, okay, when you're the child of someone who absolutely hates flying and is afraid of heights like my mother is.
Okay, that makes sense.
We never went on vacations that required us to fly anywhere.
Yeah.
Even though, like, she has been on airplanes before.
Yeah.
And I haven't, so I'm like, you know, what the heck? That's unfair. Even when we went to New York 2 years ago, we did it by driving to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, then staying over that night, and then the morning taking an Amtrak from Harrisburg to New York City.
That just sounds miserable.
Train rides are actually fine.
But
I'm okay with them, but the drive sucks.
So bad.
Driving through the state of Virginia is especially the worst. Nothing against the state, but it just takes forever to get through it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was finally excited to get on an airplane because there's if you try to drive from East Tennessee to Texas, you're insane. You're absolutely insane.
It's going to take forever.
It would take forever. You would have to stay overnight and sleep somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No way.
I might have to ask Rick Butler about that because I know he's made that drive before.
Jeez.
And I think his thing is, I think he stays overnight in Memphis.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's his thing, but that just sounds miserable.
I know. Still, that second day is still going
to
be long.
Sounds miserable. It's, let me see right now. Knoxville to
it's gotta
Dallas.
Be. 14, I'm
drive.
Guessing.
You're probably right.
15.
Once Google pops up here. Actually, not as bad, but still pretty bad. 12 and a half hours.
Okay, yeah.
12 and a half hours. Now, versus from Nashville to Dallas, From Nashville to Dallas was 1:50. From Dallas back to Nashville was 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
I'll take that all the time.
12, that's not that bad. When my parents were living down in Florida my freshman year of college, I made the drive down from Knoxville to Tampa, and it was around 12 hours.
Driving to Florida is always bad.
It was a really long drive.
I think the next time I go anywhere like south of St. Augustine, I'll probably just hop on a flight.
Yeah.
Because you can get very cheap flights from here to basically anywhere in Florida.
Yes,
here being
you can.
McGee Tyson. But, yeah, first time, I'm going to admit, a little nervous. A little nervous when takeoff happened, just because I hadn't experienced that before.
Yeah.
But once we got up some altitude and everything, I was fine. I was fine. The flight back was fine, too.
Good.
Got slight motion sickness on the flight back. I was fine, though. Just a little nausea.
Was there turbulence?
Yeah, because we had to go through what was Tropical Storm Barry.
Right. Yeah.
And it made its way up to, like, West Tennessee and Arkansas. So flew through that. It was just a little bit, but it wasn't anything terrible. So, yeah, big fan of flying now.
I've flown my whole life, so it's, like, second nature to me.
It was like I was asking my girlfriend. I'm like, yeah, this is my first flight. Which number is this for you? She's like, oh, 50-something.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? So it's
good you had an experienced flyer to fly with.
Yeah, that is true. And anytime there's like turbulence, I'd look over her, and if she wasn't making like any like facial expression,
you'd be
I'd be
like, "All
right, yeah, it's fine, it's completely fine." So, yeah, flew with Southwest, completely great experience.
And then my second big question is Whataburger. You said this would be your first time trying Whataburger. Did you try it, and how was it?
I did try it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to say though, it's not better than Pal's.
I think so, too.
I prefer Pal's. However, this is definitely one of the better like fast food burgers ever had.
So you had a burger.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't. I should have looked at the menu beforehand, but like it was Saturday when we got it. And like I had to basically like relay my order. So I'm like, just get me just a cheeseburger with all these like, you know, toppings on it or whatever. So it's pretty much just
I do like Whataburger. I've had it too, and I've also had Pal's, and I agree. I think Pal's is way superior.
But Whataburger though, worth the hype.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's
definitely
worth the
better than the McDonald's and the Burger Kings and
shout to spicy ketchup, by the way.
Yes.
Had some spicy ketchup with the fries. Oh, I wanted to take some back so badly.
Yeah.
Just because
you should have just stuffed it on your
carry-on. Really should have had them get extra. Something I could have had a chance to try, but it just would have been logistically hard to. They also have plenty of In-N-Out Burger around Dallas.
What?
Yes.
And you didn't try it?
No, I was like, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get Whataburger and In-N-Out, just kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to though. One of the lines for an In-N-Out was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The drive-through lines. I'm like, okay, this is probably worth the hype as well. But
yeah.
No, Whataburger was great. Played at a Topgolf for the first time.
Oh.
I was actually surprisingly pretty good. First time swinging a golf club in 10 years.
Yeah.
Actually did okay.
Is it fun?
Oh, very fun.
Good time. Yeah.
It's very fun. So yeah, I did a lot. I knocked out a lot in just a few short days out in Texas.
Good.
Including a first night, saw a Bon Jovi cover band at a marina because her parents own a boat. So that was definitely experience.
That's fun. So you got to get out on the water.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
2 days in a row. And I'll have a little bit more talk about that and best and worst of the weekend as well. I'm going to save that though.
Okay.
Any other questions while I'm recapping my trip to Texas?
The weather. Was it hot?
Weather was great as far as no rain or anything like that. Yes, very hot.
Yeah.
Not humid though.
Yeah,
where it's
probably
it's
nice.
The sticky hot here, it's just
dry hot. Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't like the hot, but I'm like, okay, if I have to experience a type of heat, I'm going to experience that.
Yeah.
Rather than what you have to do in like the deep south. Another first thing I did, I got on one of those electric scooters for the first time.
And?
Scooted around Dallas, Texas. It was actually fun.
I've been wanting to do that.
It was actually fun. I had to be very cautious about it because, you know, some people will just be complete idiots on them, and I did not want to be that guy.
Yeah.
It was fun. I tried a lot of new things, and overall, very successful trip.
Good.
Very,
I'm
very
glad.
Successful trip. But I am glad to be back in the saddle here in beautiful East Tennessee.
Just in time for football.
SEC Media Days have kicked off officially today. We got a lot to get into today about SEC Media Days and give you the rest of your schedule, let you know when you're going to hear from Jeremy Pruitt and company, the players that he took along with him, Jared Garantano, Daryl Taylor, and Daniel Bettuli, of course. We'll get into that. A whole lot more coming across the wire in hour number one. But when we come back, we're going to give you our best and worst of the weekend. Hear a lot more about my trip to Texas, and I want to hear about y'all's weekends as well. So let's go ahead and hit the first break of the program. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. The hop on the phone lines here. Will greet you when you call in. You stick with us here. We got a lot more overtime on the way here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime, 865-546-8200, 546-8200, as we jump into hour one here. You can call us on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, and we'll greet you as you call in. But before we get back to any of the matters at hand, it's our Monday tradition here. Let's go ahead and get into our best and worst of the weekend. Let me go ahead and start off with mine here. My best, I would just say my Dallas trip in general, but I'm going to do one thing specific. Dallas, Texas, of course, is the place where President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I got to visit the spot. Where it happened. And, of course, Oswald, Lee Harvey Oswald, was in the Texas School Book Depository. It's been turned into a museum now. It's called the Sixth Floor Museum. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, got to go into the museum as well, check out everything that's in there. Took a lot of cool pictures of a lot of great artifacts. Not a huge museum person, but I'm a big museum person when it comes to historically significant things. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely one of them. Very sombering and unique experience to be there. So the history nerd in me was satisfied with going to the Sixth Floor Museum.
That's probably pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah.
I've now been to, I've seen his grave in Arlington National Cemetery where they have the Eternal Flame.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen where he got assassinated as well. So that's definitely something that I'm glad I was able to do. Obviously, unfortunate circumstances, but
It's
something that happened, though.
Yeah.
It's something that happened.
You're witnessing history, and you're a big history buff, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was definitely a highlight of my weekend. The low light of my weekend, though, Julia, you did ask if I was able to get out on the lake. I was. Got on the lake Thursday and Friday. Friday, however, despite me putting SPF 50 sunscreen.
I knew you were about to say you got sunburned.
Over me. I think I forgot to reapply as often as I should because got burnt.
Oh, no.
I got legit sunburn
for
the first time.
You don't look burnt now.
Well,
it's a little bit.
It's,
are you in the peeling stages?
It's underneath my shirt.
Oh.
You would see. My face was fine. Legs
good.
Were fine. It's my back.
Yeah, no, that
back
sucks.
Is not as good. I hope I'm about to get into that peeling stage because this is worse what I'm feeling the last 2 days than what I felt like day one and day two. So I don't have, like, the burning as much as when I sit down and stuff. Now it's the itching stage.
Yeah. Sounds like a bad burn.
I've never had as awful itching as I've had in my entire life.
And you can't even reach it.
No. It's calmed down right now. Apparently scratching it makes it worse.
Yeah.
So you just don't scratch it. Just apply whatever creams there are. So
is this one of the worst burns you've had in a while?
In a while, yeah. I don't think it's the worst burn I've ever had because, I mean, I don't have, like, sun poisoning or anything like that.
Yeah,
I didn't have, like,
good.
Blisters. So it definitely could have been a lot worse. But, yeah, I'm very pale, obviously. It's not that I'm afraid of the outdoors. It's just I just don't stay out in the sun
mm-hmm.
that much. So
I stayed out for a few hours.
You really have to be on top of it, especially when you're out in the water and the sun is just beating down and reflecting off the water.
I've learned my lesson now, so I just got to deal with
it. It's
a whole
other world out there.
I have to deal with it from here. But, yeah, definitely my worst of the weekend. Still carrying over to the day. Hopefully I improve a lot more tomorrow. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next. Best for me this weekend was the viral video of Ed Orgeron running on the beach and hitting the sand face first.
Yes.
I don't even know if that was actually him, but the thought of it being him absolutely tickled me to death. I laughed so hard when I saw that. And then the worst for me was probably Serena Williams getting absolutely demolished by Simona Halep, I think is her name, in the Wimbledon final. I mean, props to Halep, but, like, I was really pulling for Serena, and she just got straight sets. Yeah. I mean, I don't think the match even lasted an hour. I mean, she just got demolished.
I mean, Serena's the GOAT, but unfortunately, I mean, can you really call an upset because she was seated, like, several spots higher than Serena?
Yeah. No, she was, and she played amazing.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. A good highlight, though, I was able to watch the men's final. Greatest men's final in history.
That was one of the few tennis matches I, like, actually sat down and understood and enjoyed all of it.
It was
fantastic TV. It was definitely the game of tennis at its peak.
Yeah.
Is what that was.
I think tennis might have the best overtime rules out of any sport I've ever seen. Because it was actually kind of easy to follow, but it was also fun and different the whole entire way through.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, anytime you can get one of the three, Fed, Djokovic, Nadal, going up against each other in a final, it's always going to make for something that's compelling. But that was beyond anyone's expectations yesterday, I do think. So definitely a big highlight from Wimbledon. Will, go ahead and finish us out here with your best and worst of the weekend.
My best was probably I got to hang out at this little, not park, it's a neighborhood, but it has basketball courts and the lake right next to it. So Saturday I spent literally just hanging out and playing basketball with all of my friends and then swimming in the lake. So it was a good time. The worst would be my future with getting a Twitter account shut down, because if you didn't see, the SEC just created an officiating page on Twitter. And if things go bad this season, I might have to get my Twitter taken off, just because I'm going to be very mean to the SEC officiating page.
Are you going to give him a hard time, Will?
Oh, I'm going to let him have it.
Because I don't think you're the only one.
They said take it easy on us when they first put out the original tweet, but no one's taking it easy on them. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I wonder if they know what they're actually getting into when it comes to them making an account.
There's no way they have any idea what they're getting themselves into, or they wouldn't have started it in the first place. I feel like the account will last maybe 3 years max before someone decides it gets taken down, just because there's going to be a lot of angry people from all over the place yelling at them.
Yeah, they better pay whoever is managing that account
handsomely.
Some good money.
And I'm not talking about, you know, putting some poor intern in charge of that. You need to have someone who, like, a PR professional.
Seriously.
Who has experience. But yeah, good stuff, I guess, for Twitter entertainment.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
When it comes to that account.
Very entertaining.
Speaking of entertainment, it is, in fact, SEC Media Days. It officially kicked off today down there in Hoover, Alabama. Today, your three teams that had their turns from the media today. Missouri kicked it off. And then you had LSU and Coach O, always fun. And at the same time, LSU took the podium. It was the Florida Gators. Have you seen what the Michael P. Ryan, Florida running back, said about Tennessee?
No, what'd he say?
Well, I mean, I can't really disagree with him here. I'm trying to find this exact quote.
Something along the lines of, Tennessee's not a rivalry to us anymore.
Precisely. He said, I wouldn't say it's a rivalry.
I seriously haven't even heard or seen anything about this, but that's immediately where my mind went.
He said, I wouldn't say it's a rivalry. It's just another game. I wouldn't call it a rivalry. LSU, that's a rival game. We look at Tennessee like it's just another game.
Yep.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
He's not wrong, but damn it, it's just, you see that, And you can't help but be very agitated. I am. I'm not agitated at Florida. I'm agitated at ourselves.
I am too.
You thought you
we let it get to this point.
You thought you made a rivalry again in 2016. I mean, I really thought it was back. I'm like, okay, you ended the streak. Now what's going to happen here? You would say it was still a rivalry even after Florida won the next year. But then this, just the way you let them come into your house this last fall and do what they did to you, do what let Felipe Franks do what he did to you. Ugh.
It was bad. It was so bad.
Garantano had an awful game. That offensive line had one of their worst games of the year. Yeah, it's...
No, it's true.
Man, the way we look at Kentucky in football, that's the way Florida looks at us.
Yeah.
That just is what it is. I want to know who asked him about Tennessee, though.
I know. Like, how did it get brought up?
That's one of those things. Like, I guess
talking
he was
about
going
rivalries,
to,
maybe
going down the schedule, something like that.
Yeah, the Georgia Florida rivalry, and
another part that aggravates me is just man, I always Florida players forever, no matter who their coach is, they just talk and talk and talk. But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of earned the right to.
I don't know. I'm going to disagree with them. I think that it's not competition level. It's not the final score of the game. It's not any of that that creates a rivalry. That just adds to it. What creates a rivalry is history. And Tennessee and Florida have very, very rich history in football and great games and terrible games, obviously. But you can't erase history and just get rid of a rivalry just because it hasn't been that competitive lately.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can do that. I don't know.
I mean, when you look at the standpoint of Florida, this was definitely a rivalry for the longest time. Even when they still owned the majority of this in the 90s, it was still, yeah. It was still heated. It was still heated, but, you know, think about who Florida has to play every year and, like, the level of competition. They're coming off a great first year under Dan Mullen. Mm-hmm. They're looking at trying to take down Georgia and win the East this year. Think about this, though. Georgia is a bigger rivalry, a rival to them. Florida State's their number one, of course.
Yeah.
But then to a lot of people in the conference, it's obviously Georgia. And then that LSU series, this decade, it's been very heated. They play each other every year. I mean, that is a rivalry as well. So that's three already that mean more than the Tennessee series does.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's bad that they don't think it's a rivalry if we still do? Like, regardless of what their opinion on it is, we can still, like, they're going to come in, or we're going to go there, obviously, this year. If we're thinking it's a rivalry and they're thinking it's just another game, we might play a little bit harder than them. We'll have a little bit more of a chip on our shoulder, obviously, even just coming in this season with a chip all on our shoulder.
I mean, that
could have their guard down.
I mean, that would be fantastic. I mean, is
we haven't been able to capitalize on that recently.
Is that not that big piece of paper they have plastered all over the locker room? It says never again. It has the scores of the Florida game, the Georgia game, the Alabama game. I think is it Missouri game as well?
It should be up there.
Yeah, it definitely should be up there.
I love how the Vanderbilt scores omitted. Like, maybe we should focus on never having that again.
That's probably not even talked about. It's so like, yeah, what the hell were you guys doing?
I think you should talk about that, though. I would like to beat Vanderbilt first.
So embarrassing you can't even talk about it.
I mean, it's Florida's won 13 in the last 14. If I'm their players, I don't think it's a rivalry. Now, do I think it's a rivalry between fan bases? Yes. Mm-hmm. There are some Florida fans that still hate us, and of course, we all hate them.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there's still that bitterness, but on the field, though, for these players, especially the ones who, you know, they didn't grow up Florida fans, they didn't grow up in the state of Florida, you know, they get recruited to play 3 or 4 years for this school, they're not going to come into Florida thinking about Tennessee. They're going to be thinking about, oh, man, how can we take down Kirby Smart in Georgia? You know, how can we keep our dominance over the state when it comes to FSU? And plus, I know I mentioned three teams that already I know their players hold in higher regard than Tennessee. They got to play Miami this year too, kicking off everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a series that's not played as often, but those schools hate each other. All those big three Florida schools, it's like a little triangle of hate.
Yep, they do.
So you have four games on that schedule this year that they hold in higher regard. So, no, I completely understand what Michael Piron is saying. I just don't get why it was brought up.
I don't either.
I'd like to know who brought it up. Maybe. Was there our own Trey Wallace?
Surely
not. Say it's not so, Trey. Did you just make
Surely
us meme
not.
Material? Oh, I hope you didn't. Apparently, Felipe Frank said something about Tennessee, too. I can't find I'll try to find this quote before we go to break here. I think Trey might have said something to the drive about it, but man, I just
that quote alone.
They're so easy. They're always easy to hate, but damn, Malta makes them very easy to hate. Did you see him with his new Jordans today?
He looked like
tweeted it out like early this morning.
He looked like the youth pastor that was trying very, very hard to fit in, but still did not fit in at all.
It's so bad. No. The Jordans. The whole thing. Just yuck.
Oh, Will, you got Billy Wilford tweeting at you.
I do.
He said it's never been close, talking about the series in Florida. The past 30 games, Tennessee is 7-23.
He brought out the stats.
Past 25 is 5-20. Past 20 is 4-16. 15 is 2-13. Past 10 is 1-9.
I mean, if we want to bring out the stats in history, I haven't been alive to see us beat Florida except for once that I can actually remember. So history is out the window for me. It's still just programs class.
I mean, I remember only three times vividly. It doesn't get that much better.
But, like, regardless of the score or anything, like, you still hate each other.
Yeah.
I hate to make this analogy, but it's the Michigan State-Michigan type thing to me. It's obviously not that historic of a rivalry, and it's not the same state or anything, but it's even if, like, one team is the little brother, as Michigan State has been deemed, and they're still not playing the greatest football or the greatest basketball, it's still a rivalry nonetheless, and you want to beat that team.
Yeah.
I think if this is Florida FSU we're talking about, and Florida's won 13 in the last 14, you still consider that a rivalry? Because I think of Ohio State-Michigan. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's won I know the only victory Michigan has in that series since 2003 is the 2011 game. So Ohio State's won the rest of those games, but that's obviously still considered one of, if not the greatest college football rivalries ever.
Yeah, but
sure. That's on a different scale than Tennessee-Florida, though. These two teams didn't start playing each other annually until 1990. So I guess it's just different from their standard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
all about winning. You know, if you win, you get the bragging rights.
I haven't said right there.
And we haven't been winning, so.
Could have won 14. Could have won 15. You could have at least not lost on a Hail Mary in 17.
That's
this could be
the frustrating thing. It's going to be a whole lot different now. A coin flip for so many games recently.
If Butch Jones hasn't fumbled the majority of those games, this is definitely a rivalry.
I don't even want to think about that.
Let's not.
It's going to depress me.
Let's reset here. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Call the Next Door Network Hotline here. We're going to come back with more overtime here in hour number one. You are listening to Fan Run Radio. Let it be known, I really hate Will right now. Playing blister in the sun in honor of my sunburn. I don't have blisters, thank God. I don't know how much more pain it would have been if it would have been that bad. I can safely say I've never had that before. I don't think I've had sun poisoning. I'm not that much of a dullard to
just
go out with like no sunscreen. I just
even like falling asleep, like
right?
Laying
no,
out, tanning, woke up hours later.
I just want to let it be known you sounded like you were okay earlier when you were talking about it, so that's why I thought it was
the
okay.
The only
to
bad
make
thing
fun
is like the itchiness, which it's some of the most like irritating itch I've ever had. But I'm not in pain.
You're gonna peel serious. Serious.
Bring it on.
In a couple days.
Bring
it
on.
Be falling off.
I'm just going to apply aloe tonight and just pray, I guess. I don't know what else there is to really do right now.
It's just part of it.
But, yeah, me and Julia were talking like during the break. I should have like really taken more into account how pale I am and how like, yeah,
you
I should
know.
I should have treated like the sunscreen more seriously than I did. And instead of just one application of it, I should have like done maybe three or four.
Yep. Me and my one of my best friends, we went down to the beach in May, and she is so fair. She burns so easily, and I had to reapply for her every 30 minutes.
It's just, I should have thought about that.
And she still got burned. Like, it's just so...
This probably still will happen to me.
Yeah.
I would have gotten burned somewhere, but maybe it would have been this bad. I don't know. I don't tan or anything like that, so... I wasn't prepared.
Hey, it happens.
My foreskin just wasn't prepared. Oh, well, I'll soldier on. I will survive.
You will.
I will survive Sunburn 2K19. That's what I will do. How about this? There's some good news here. Following Summer League performance, which he was very consistent here, the terms of the deal are not disclosed. However, your Tennessee Volunteers in the NBA this summer are 4-for-4. The Miami Heat have announced that they have signed Kyle Alexander.
Big
absolutely.
Kyle.
Gotta yes, give a round of applause.
Big Kyle.
To the big Maple Man from Canada. He announced today they have signed forward Kyle Alexander. He finished second on Tennessee's all-time blocks list, appeared in 8 Summer League games, starting 2 of them with the Heat, including the California Classic in Sacramento and in the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. Averaged 4.3 points, 6.3 rebounds, 1.4 blocks, all in about 16 minutes per game. Shot almost 44% from the field, 75% from the foul line. So how about that? That's what we do. Alexander was going to have to do. He was going to have to really grind out there in the summer league, make sure that he got enough attention of his skill set to at least earn that initial contract. And they have signed him. Again, there's no terms of the deal. He's getting a chance, though. He's getting a chance. A lot of people, they go out in this summer league, and you know, they can't make it work.
Yeah.
Kyle, at least for the meantime, he's making that work. So shout out to him.
That's awesome.
Admiral Grant, Jordan Bone, they've all signed their contracts. So 4-for-4. I'm pleasantly surprised. I didn't know if Kyle Alexander was also going to get a contract signed.
I didn't either. I was very skeptical about it.
I was really concerned if he would have to go over to Europe mm-hmm. and try to just make a career out there, which nothing wrong with that. We've had several players. They make a good living for themselves and their families mm-hmm. playing overseas. But, you know, especially if you're from North America, your dream is going to be NBA. So at least for the meantime, Kyle Alexander still gets to pursue that. So shout out to Kyle Alexander. And let's give you SEC Media Days for tomorrow. Pick back up on that discussion. So day one's in the books. Tomorrow is Tennessee Day.
Yep.
I feel like Tennessee either goes like day one or like the last day. I always feel like maybe that's...
You know what they went last year?
I don't remember.
Pruitt did?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
It is day two this year. You're going to be in the second half of the day. So tomorrow in the morning from 9 to 1 Central, so 10 to 2 Eastern time, you're going to have Georgia and Ole Miss. And then from 2:30 to 6:30 Eastern, you're going to have Tennessee and Texas A&M. So
okay.
It is tomorrow. You get to see
it's a good day.
Year 2. Or Jeremy Pruitt, this is kind of like the unofficial start to that year, too.
Yeah, it is.
Football season, for me at least, always starts in SEC Media Days. That's when you get your hype going. That's when you get your preseason teams. You get your predictions for each division, mm-hmm. Which will come at the end of the week. But, tomorrow afternoon, Tennessee takes the stage. Jeremy Pruitt, Daniel Bettuli, Jarrett Garantano, and Daryl Taylor. Pruitt, of course, electing to take very experienced guys with him, 2 seniors on the defensive end, including the redshirt junior on the offensive end in Garantano. What are we expecting tomorrow? Are we expecting some hard-hitting questions to come Pruitt's way? How do we think he's going to respond to that? I know a lot of questions, some probably really tough questions are going to be thrown Jarrett Garantano's way.
Yeah.
About his improvement, about how he's been this offseason under Jim Chaney, and what types of steps forward he thinks he's going to take in 2019. You think they're going to get grilled tomorrow?
I don't know about grilled. I think definitely there'll be questions about, you know, Garantano's development and player development based on, you know, all the new coaches that have come in. Maybe some recruiting stuff, but I don't see them getting grilled in any way.
To be completely honest, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of media attention towards just Tennessee enough to get grilled by questions. Like, a lot of people are going to be asking questions, but I feel like a lot of more focus will be going towards Georgia or what was the school we were with the second half of the day?
A&M.
A&M has very hard schedule and a lot of things. So I would be surprised if we got grilled by anybody.
That's true.
But I'm excited to see their answers to all the questions, especially the Jim Chaney Garantano marriage. I want to see how that's going from an inside view instead of just speculation.
Yep.
I'm expecting a lot of competent answers from JG. You already saw last week responding to Peter Burns. Peter Burns was talking to that random account about Jim Chaney improving Jarrett Garantano because of how comfortable players like Jake Fromm looked at Georgia under him. Mm-hmm. And he said, I wonder how that's going to help. Garantano just slides in there and says, lots.
A lot, yeah.
Lots in tweet.
Yep.
So I'm expecting a lot of confidence out of him, which is good. I mean, go
Should
ahead,
be.
Man.
Should be.
Make us feel good.
Yeah.
Make us feel confident in you. So just let that confidence radiate around. Talking about the defense here, you got Dan Batuli, Daryl Taylor. It's going to be a lot about, hey, how are you going to sell in year two under this system here?
Yeah.
Derek Ansley, of course, since he's going to be the one calling the plays on the defense.
Offensive line, well. Potentially a young offensive line.
Mm-hmm, that as well. So I'm very interested to see these answers tomorrow. Obviously, most of the attention tomorrow in general is going to be on Georgia. Kirby Smart, Jake Fromm. So get to see what's going to come out of their yappers tomorrow. Give me the rest of the schedule here before we hit another break here. Wednesday's Gump Day. The Gumps are going to travel over to Hoover. They're going to be there in droves because bright and early in the morning, Alabama gets things started on Wednesday, along with Arkansas, who probably nobody's going to be paying attention to.
I'm glad we're not on the same day as Alabama.
That
would be awful.
Yeah, you'd run into that one Alabama fan that has, like, the giant ring hat.
The whole day is going to be consumed by Alabama.
If I'm that dude, I don't wear that hat this year because Clemson smacked you in that national title game. Don't you dare wear a championship ring. Don't you dare do that.
I'm sure he will. But he shouldn't, you're right.
Either way, there's going to be Alabama fans making asses out of themselves, and I can't wait.
They always do.
Tomorrow afternoon, your teams are Mississippi State and South Carolina. South Carolina, another team with a really tough schedule. I'm sure Will Muschamp's going to get asked a lot about that, as well as I'm sure Jake Bentley's going to get asked about why he has regressed so much from having such a bright future to being just, he's a quarterback. Yeah, he's okay. And your final day... you got three teams on your final day. You got Auburn, Kentucky, and Vandy. Oh, Kentucky and Vandy on the same day. That's lovely right there. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on this week down there in Hoover. We got our Trey Wallace, who's down there, boots on the ground reporting, out there asking the tough questions as well. So be sure to follow along with Trey on Twitter. He will be giving you plenty of updates as well. We got to hit another break here. We're going to wrap up hour number one with the return of Mount Rushmore for me here. We are going to give you our Mount Rushmore of TV comedies. That is TV comedies. Going to bring that to you on the other side. You're listening to Overtime, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up hour one of Overtime here. About to get back into Mount Rushmore. I had a nice recap of the Mount Rushmore topics that Ben Lee did when he was here. What was it? Smells, video games, and beers.
Yep.
And, of course, Will being a minor had to do root beer.
Yeah.
Hey, big fan of root beer.
Love root beer.
I love root beer.
I don't really drink it anymore, but when I was a kid, man, I can go for some Mug, go for some A&W.
IBC.
Oh, I forgot about IBC. Yes. Yeah. Big fan sometimes. But we're getting back into it today, and we are going to go to the entertainment section, and let's do a Mount Rushmore of TV comedies. All right, kicking off mine here, King of the Hill. King of the Hill is one of my most rewatchable shows. It is... For an animated show, it's more realistic than a lot of live-action shows.
It is realistic.
It's just middle-class family in Texas, awkward, square, old traditional, Hank Hill, and everything that goes on in Arlen, Texas. One of my favorite accounts I follow on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, I retweet it quite a bit now. Yep. The King of the Hill screenshots.
Yep. That's why I knew you're going to have it.
Look, it's just so amazing. I've watched it since I was like 11, on and off. And I still find time to rewatch some episodes. Next up, a show I rewatch a lot too. Watched an episode on the plane to Dallas, That 70s Show.
Yep.
Always going to be a fan of That 70s Show. Red Foreman, best TV dad of all time.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. I know that might be a hot take, but I love Red. Dumbass! Next up, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You got to have a dark sense of humor to really, really like the show. Because everybody, all the main characters are terrible people in their own ways. The gang, Charlie Mack, Dennis, Dee, Frank, and all the really, really bizarre cast of characters in that show. It's still one of my favorites. And last, had to put The Office, man. Had to put The Office. Another very rewatchable show. It's going to be a dark day in Netflix history when that show goes to the NBC streaming platform. And that is my Mount Rushmore.
I'll go next. First up for me is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Young Will Smith. I love it. I used to watch the show all the time growing up. Next for me is Friends. One of my favorite shows of all time, I've made this known. I'm also really upset that they're taking this off of Netflix. You knew that, right, Tanner?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's going to be a dark day for me. Next up is Family Guy. In my opinion, it's the best animated comedy. It's my favorite. I love Family Guy. And then last for me is Saturday Night Live. I love watching it and how they relate real-world issues to comedy sketches. It's just always
favorite SNL cast member of all time.
Oh, man. Gosh. I don't know if I can answer that. I love all of them so much.
You know one I like right now? Melissa Villaseñor.
Yeah, she's really good.
Extremely good impressionist.
She's been... I haven't watched as much lately, but yeah, I like her too. She's really good.
Will, you are last.
My top one, number one seed out of everything, South Park. My favorite show of all time.
Ah, yes!
I love South Park.
I still watch South Park, yes.
Great show. Always finds a way to stay relevant over the 22 years, I think it is, that they've been... On air.
I'm not your bully guy. I'm not your guy, friend.
Just absolute, in my opinion, best TV show of all time. I don't care if any buffs want to come at me. Best TV show of all time. Second, The Office. Another one, just you can't not say it when TV comedies is brought up. I'm going to go Family Guy number three, and then Tosh.0, just because I'm a teenager and I love Daniel Tosh.
That's good.
I was a big fan of Tosh.0. I was a big fan of Tosh.0 back in like its big heyday. I can't tell you the last time I watched a new episode. He's still going, right?
Yes, he's still making new episodes to this day.
Well, that's good. I'm a fan of Daniel Tosh. I definitely put him in probably my top 10 comedians.
He's one of my favorite comedians, if not my favorite stand-up at the moment. Not of all time, though.
I love how much he hates Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
Never forget Kiffin's Crimson Corner. absolutely something that did all of all fans a service everywhere, for sure. But, man, some of our honorable mentions as well, I'm trying to think. Because that was a tough list for me because I got to thinking, man, a lot of my favorite shows are comedies.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec,
I almost put them on.
Shout to Trailer Park Boys for me. Oh, Canada.
Trailer Park Boys.
I don't know what they were doing with making last season animated. I thought that was a complete waste of time. I think the show really needs to call it quits. Still one of the greatest, though.
Shout out How I Met Your Mother. That was one I left off.
Very good.
It was really confusing to follow the storyline, but still a really, really funny show. I just didn't want to put it on there because I didn't have enough room.
Shout out to a couple classics. All in the Family, you know, Archie Bunker and company, and the Andy Griffith Show. I was raised on that show.
Yeah.
That's definitely my papa's favorite show, one of my mom's favorite shows as well. And you want a real, real shout to a classic? I Love Lucy.
That's classic.
That's your OG sitcom as well. Yeah. I'm going way too far back, though. That does
MASH? That's
yes,
OG.
MASH.
Three Stooges? The original comedy?
Yes.
Yeah, that goes way back, man. We go on and on. But we are out of time for hour one, though. Hour two of overtime is on the way after this. Be back with more on Fan Run Radio.
We'd like to help you learn to help yourself. Look around you, all you see are sympathetic guys.